I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Our friends at the Vancouver International Film Festival's Van City Theatre are celebrating International Dance Day this Tuesday with a special presentation, Dancing in the Dark, Michael Vandenbos, on the movie's greatest dance numbers. It's nearly 2 hours of a movie medley curated and presented by Michael Vandenbos, who joins me now to preview what will be seen. The dance numbers that will be shown include clips starring Fred Astaire, Ginger Rogers, Eleanor Powell, Shirley Temple, James Cagney, John Travolta, Gwen Verdon, Shirley MacLaine, Dick Van Dyke, Laurel and Hardy, Christopher Walken, and so many more. The movies the clips are taken from include Singing in the Rain, Gold Diggers of 1935, The Bandwagon, Moulin Rouge, Damn Yankees, West Side Story, All That Jazz, Top Hat, and more. There'll even be some Bollywood showcased. The presentation is at 3 p.m. on Tuesday and is free. Visit VIFF.org for information. Michael Vandenbos is a film scholar and critic, and his own website, Movie Mad, is at michaelvdb.shawwebspace.ca. He was on recently to talk about the series of Woody Allen films he showcased. I enjoyed the chat very much that he's back to talk about movies again and more. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Land program, Michael Vandenbos. Mr. Vandenbos, good morning.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me back on again.
No, it was. I had a lot of fun talking about Woody Allen last time.
Yeah, well, me too. I mean, Woody Allen's one of my favorite subjects, but then again, movies are my favorite subject.
Yeah. So, how did the screenings go? Were they well attended?
Yeah, they were great. I mean, there were some maybe a little less than others, but that depends on the day and the weather and all that. But overall, they went really quite well. So I introduced every single Woody Allen film that we screened during the spring collection of Mr. Allen's pictures. And it was just great to see them up on the big screen and how well accepted they were. The very last screening we did was for Annie Hall, which we played twice on two different days. But the very last screening for this Woody Allen collection was Annie Hall, his 1977 Oscar-winning comedy, romantic comedy. And we had a terrific turnout. There was a group of, 40 media students. I mean, they must have been 19 or 20 years old, and they came out for it. And when I asked where they came from Saskatchewan.
Wow.
Of all places. I said, you came a long way to see Annie Hall. I'll let Mr. Allen know about this, but to him, Saskatchewan probably represents means a skin disease. He wouldn't know Saskatchewan from that. So, but anyway, it was just terrific, and we're going to carry on with it in the this summer as well, and conclude it in the fall.
Now, in putting this thing together, the greatest movie dance numbers, there must be something to watching dance on the big screen. Seeing it up there. I mean, that's the way it was supposed to be seen. And unfortunately, most of us are used to seeing old movies, say, on television now because of Netflix, over our computers, over our laptops. You can't really exchange that experience. I mean, you really need to see these things on the big screen. I mean, that's what dance, that's how it looks best, I guess, right?
Oh, yes, indeed. It's much more powerful. I mean, these movies were designed for the big screen. I mean, that goes for any movie in any genre. I mean, one of the worst places to watch a movie designed for the big screen is on a small computer screen. It just diminishes the impact and the power of the overall conception and design, whether it's a non-musical or a musical. So, I mean, thank God for home video and DVD and Blu-ray. Turner Classic Movies, the greatest television network in the history of entertainment,
right.
And Netflix, where you can see some of these great musicals and dance numbers, but it's nothing quite like seeing Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, Ginger Rogers, Sid Charisse, Dick Van Dyke, Gwen Verdon, right up on that big screen. That's something you can't even get live. I mean, live dancing in, say a Broadway musical or some sort of dance event is great. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, you've got that live energy there, but you are in a fixed position. You are in your seat in the theater, and yet in a movie, of course, the camera can not only get up close, but obviously enlarge the image to 40 feet in height. So that's overpowering, especially when you have dancers and choreography and great musical directors that just make it magical.
You must have had fun putting this all together.
Oh my God, it was so much fun. I mean, one of my very favorite genres of all time is the movie musical. so I have a great love and passion for it. As you know, I helped the Cinematheque in Vancouver program their Cinema Sunday series, and all this year in 2014, it's all musicals for the whole family, which we call What a Glorious Feeling. So to be asked to put together this special clip show of great dance numbers for the Van City Theater to celebrate International Dance Day on Tuesday, April 29th, was not only a great honor, but I was just, you know, as excited as Eleanor Powell doing a great tap dance on a battleship deck, you know, just remarkable. So it was easy to come up with great dance clips. The difficult part was having to cut stuff out, because yeah. I've got approximately a 90-minute program with, like, little brief introductions. So, you know, you start going through this, go, oh, I got to include this, I got to include this, oh, this is important, and so on. You go, wait a second, something's got to give, to quote the title of a song that Fred Astaire danced to in Daddy Long Legs. And so I had to cut out a whole bunch of stuff to get it down to time, but yet still give it, you know, a nice broad spectrum of dance styles and movie musicals that go right back to 1929. So the time frame of my Dancing in the Dark event is from 1929 up to 2002.
And that would be Moulin Rouge, would it?
That actually would be a Bollywood musical called Devdas. Devdas. That's 2002. Moulin Rouge was 2001, so close enough.
Yeah. Now, I guess Bollywood is the only... I mean, Hollywood doesn't really do dance anymore. I mean, very rarely will you see something.
Well, not like in the so-called golden age in the 30s, 40s, 50s, or even 60s. Yeah.
But in India, that's still a big deal, right?
Oh, huge. Yeah. Well, I mean, they still, as I understand it, have the largest film industry in the world, you know, cranking out something like 800-plus films a year, which is staggering. They keep the musical alive in their own spirit and tone and culture and so on. But it's interesting because many of the dance numbers, and especially the one I'm going to show from the 2002 picture called It Devdas, actually harks back to to some of the big production numbers that Hollywood can do, you know, blindfolded back in the 30s, you know, the big glittering pageantry of, you know, numerous dancers all choreographed in unison with all sorts of flash and style and, you know, things exploding and big sweeping camera movements and such. So, you know, some of these Bollywood dance numbers certainly echo what, say, something like Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer could, you know, would produce every other week in the 1930s.
Now, speaking of those big spectacles of the 1930s, that was the signature of a filmmaker like Busby Berkeley, right? I mean, that's what he was known for.
Well, Berkeley was famous for, he came from the Broadway stage, and he was famous in his movies for choreographing dancers and mass movement with military-like precision. So I love Berkeley's dance numbers. I mean, they stand alone as almost little surrealistic short films. And most of them, especially from his Warner Brothers musicals in the 30s, are not necessarily integrated within the story. So, I mean, you could technically lift those Berkeley musical numbers out of the 30s Warner's musicals, and the plot, the story itself, would still hold up. There wouldn't be a hole in it, but it would be lesser for it because you would be missing these great dance numbers that are just very loosely connected, because the story could be like 42nd Street, which is the, you know, the pain and suffering of putting on a Broadway show. So you want to see what these production numbers are like. But with Berkeley, what he did was he created these sort of kaleidoscopic images, and he had big sweeping camera movements, and he used a lot of different dramatic camera angles and montage-style film editing. So it was less about individual characters dancing and those characters within the story expressing something about their emotions or what they're feeling about each other or the drama or whatnot, and in a sense just pure spectacle, which is staggering to the eye. I mean, it's eye candy to see. But at the same time, in the 1930s, you had Fred Astaire mm-hmm. over at RKO Radio Pictures making his series of musicals with Ginger Rogers. And what Fred Astaire did was very different than what Berkeley did. Now, Berkeley was a director, but Fred Astaire was a dancer and a performer. But he understood that the way the camera should capture him is in full shot. That is head-to-toe shot with the camera choreographed with them, moving with his dance, with a minimum of editing. He would say it'd be ridiculous to get close-up shots of my face or my feet or hands or upper torso in the dance number when the full expression of the dance is my entire body. So what Astaire insisted on in terms of how his musical dance numbers were shot in the 30s became the norm. That became the established manner in which pretty much all musical numbers through the golden age of the 30s, 40s, and 50s were primarily shot in full shot of the dancer, minimum of editing, so you can see that they're dancing. You know, there's no tricks going on here. There's no manipulating the image with different angles and cutting to different types of shots to fake the dance, which you see more and more of these days in the rare musicals that do come out of Hollywood.
And Astaire, was he the biggest star, do you think, in this dance era?
Well, certainly in the 1930s. Mm-hmm. He was always a top draw through the 30s and box office draw through the 30s and 40s and even the 50s. But I think it's safe to say he was probably the biggest musical star in the 30s. If not, it was probably Shirley Temple. She may have just in pure box office outdid him. And here's this, you know, 6-7-year-old Moppet who was extremely talented and confident, was a huge musical star in the 1930s, right along with Fred Astaire. And Shirley Temple was making her movies, some musical, straight musicals, some straight drama, some dramas with a bit of musical numbers in it. She was making those at 20th Century Fox. But then eventually, as the 1940s rolled in, then we had other great musical stars, such as Judy Garland, of course, and Mickey Rooney, and the great Gene Kelly, who, of course, will be represented in my Dancing in the Dark event on Tuesday.
You know, the thing about Astaire and Kelly that we forget, because a lot of us know of the two of them as musical stars, you know, mm-hmm. song and dance men. They're great actors in terms of drama.
Yes. Know? Yes, indeed. They were able to cross over, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
So Fred Astaire eventually would, you know, as he was making less and less musicals based on just, you know, the popular taste for that type of musical changed by the time he got into the 60s and just Astaire aging, he would take on dramatic roles. I mean, one of his better ones was in the Stanley Kramer, sort of a post-apocalyptic drama, On the Beach, for example. Gene Kelly certainly was acting in straight dramatic roles even as far back as in the 40s when he wasn't making a musical. I mean, he has always said one of his favorite part of all time, his favorite role of all time was in a non-musical, and that was The Three Musketeers, where he played D'Artagnan. And this was an opulent MGM Technicolor production, non-musical, but certainly the way Kelly moves in it, you can... It's obvious, if you don't know anything about Kelly, you can tell that this guy must be a dancer.
Yeah. And then he went on to direct films himself.
Yes, well, even as early as the late 1940s, when he co-directed On the Town with his partner Stanley Donen, and that was a groundbreaking MGM musical, and groundbreaking because many scenes with the primary actors, being Gene Kelly himself, Jules Munson, and a young Frank Sinatra, were shot on location in New York, which was unusual because movie musicals were basically confined to studio backlots in Los Angeles and Hollywood. Kelly would co-direct with Stanley Donen what is arguably the greatest musical of all time, my favorite, and is also my favorite movie period of all time, Singin' in the Rain from 1952. And the last film Kelly co-directed with Donen was It's Always Fair Weather, which is the mid-1950s. And then Kelly would go on and direct other pictures as well. He directed, for example, one of the last super big-budget musicals of all time, and that's Hello, Dolly, mm-hmm. with Barbara Streisand in the lead role, which did not get very good reviews. But nonetheless, yes, Kelly was a very good director. And what he brought in terms of a cinematic eye to dance on film was to expand on what Fred Astaire did. So if Fred Astaire insisted on the full shot with a minimum of editing in his dance numbers, Kelly adopted that, but then he took the camera and moved it in more elaborate and complex and sophisticated fashions within the space of the scene, with the dancer taking that space and using it to its fullest extent. So the camera was moving in certain ways that were not necessarily flashy or just to show off, but enhanced the dance number to a cinematic degree that even Astaire hadn't been doing. And that's not to take away from Astaire's performance, which is, for me, absolutely perfect.
Yeah. James Cagney is someone that's showcased in this collection. What will you show of him?
Well, it's interesting you should bring that up. I've had to make a few changes, so Cagney is not represented now.
I see.
There were some cuts that had to be made due to time and such. But he was going to be represented in Yankee Doodle Dandy, the great Warner Brothers biopic in which he portrayed George M. Cohan. And if this Dancing in the Dark event at the Van City Theater proves successful, we may very well do it again next year for International Dance Day, and I'll be able to include James Cagney. But Cagney was interesting because, you know, we associate him as a tough guy, as a gangster and such, you know, from movies like the Public Enemy and the like. But yet he was a song and dance man who performed on Broadway, and even in some of the early Warner Brothers musicals, that he appeared in some of those, such as Footlight Parade, where he plays sort of an impresario of a Broadway troupe of an organization putting on a show, and you actually see him dance in that, and he's just terrific. He had a very unusual dance style. It was very much waist down sort of thing, with his upper body very, very still, and so there was this really interesting percussive feel to the way he would bop around the dance stage. Just really terrific, his own particular unique way of interpreting dance.
Bob Fosse, is he in, is his work part of this?
Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, you see, now Bob Fosse is one of the most interesting people in film and in dance for me. Now, he was a dancer from a very, very young age and a choreographer, and he actually appeared in several movie musicals in the 1950s, such as Kiss Me, Kate, and Damn Yankees, for example. And he would go on to choreograph some of these pictures as well, and then go back to the Broadway stage, where he carved out this stunning career on stage. And he would go on to direct his a handful of movies in his career, starting with Sweet Charity with Shirley MacLaine, who I wanted to include a clip, but I had to cut that out due to time. And then Fosse followed it up with Cabaret, with Liza Minnelli, which is this knockout dark musical taking place in Germany just as the Nazis are rising to power. How Fosse's represented in my Dancing in the Dark show is you'll actually see him dance with one of his great partners, Gwen Verdon, who was a Broadway dancer and actress, and they were married at one point, but even after they divorced, they continued to work together. So you'll see Bob Fosse dancing on screen in the film version of Damn Yankees from 1958, and then he's represented in one of my favorite movies of all time, and that's All That Jazz, All That Jazz from 1979, which is sort of semi-autobiographical, and it's a very Fellini-esque film. It really has a Federico Fellini a vision to it as well. And so I'm going to represent Fosse from All That Jazz with a brief clip from the hospital hallucination sequence at the end, which features dancers Leland Palmer and the great Anne Reinking, who was Fosse's lover at the time.
And Ben Vereen, wasn't he in that as well?
Yeah, he's in that. Unfortunately, I can't include him in this show, but he certainly is featured in it.
Yeah.
What I like about Fosse as well is he was influenced by the great dancers of the past. He's always acknowledged Fred Astaire as a big influence, much like Michael Jackson has acknowledged Fred Astaire's influence. But what Fosse did was he took dance for film and on stage into a different style that emphasized sort of poses and angular shapes on the dancer, kind of a real jazzy approach to it. And so that it became a very sexy style. And a very, at times, explosive style.
What is the future of the movie musical? I mean, a couple of years ago we had Les Miserables, which did well at the box office, was a critical hit as well. There's not very much dance in it, but will we see more movie musicals in the near future?
Well, as long as they make money, I think Les Miserables, I think it did okay. I think it did fine at the box office. I mean, Chicago 10 years ago, it's been 10 years now,
yeah.
The Rob Marshall musical, which is actually based on the musical play that Bob Fosse directed and put on the Broadway stage in the mid-70s. That Chicago did great at the box office and won Academy Awards, including Best Picture. You know, I have my issues with Chicago. However, that all harks well for the genre. But I honestly don't believe we'll see anything of the like from the Golden Age, from the 30s, 40s, yeah. and the blossoming, the full, you know, explosion of the artistry of the movie musical in the 1950s, because there's nobody around that makes these all the time. You see, all the major studios back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, they all had units that made musicals, and MGM was the greatest. They had three units, including the Arthur Freed unit, who is considered the greatest producer of movie musicals. And all the other studios made musicals as well. So you had people that were well experienced in the musical, whether it's in front of the camera or behind the camera. You had the great songwriters of the period, the Cole Porters, the Gershwins, Jerome Kern, Rodgers and Hart, Dorothy Fields, and so on, just to name a few, that produced all this, these great songs, and the choreographers, Robert Alton, Charles Walter, Gene Kelly as well. You know, it's just, you just don't see the likes of that kind of musical anymore. And so I would be really surprised if we see anything that comes around in the next many years that reaches the artistic level of, say, something like a Meet Me in St. Louis or an American in Paris, or even the film version of The King and I, you know, just to name a few.
Yeah, I mean, the big musical that's upcoming is Into the Woods, but that's not, it's almost dark, you know, and it's a sort of like the Sweeney Todd thing from,
yes.
you know, there's nothing from that MGM sort of gloss, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, exactly. I mean, you can do all the high production values you want these days with, you can make it look slick. You can have all this fancy film editing, which I believe hides the fact that, you know, the people you're seeing on screen that supposedly are dancing, maybe they're not real dancers, so you can get away with murder by the way you cut it.
Yeah.
But, you know, where's the soul? Where's the passion? Where's, you know, the whole idea of a great movie musical, this is the purpose of a great movie musical, is to lift the spirit. That's it. And they did it so well back in, you know, the Golden Age. You know, it's just taking the spirit to a whole another level through song and dance and in stories with characters that can only express themselves with song when mere words fail them and when the rhythm of life and love, you know, streaks through them and hits their legs and feet. They've got to tap it out, swing it out, waltz it out, whatever it is, and I just don't sense that passion for what the movie musicals can truly deliver with great creativity, with deft direction, and just with talent that can actually really sing and dance with, you know, a simple camera setup with a little bit of film editing.
Yeah, and we'll see a lot of the great things on Tuesday, right?
Oh, absolutely, and a lot of surprises as well. So I'm going to introduce the audience to the Nicholas Brothers, who I think have been somewhat forgotten, from a 20th Century Fox musical called Stormy Weather. So you'll see Cab Calloway start to sing a song called The Jump and Jive, and we move right into the Nicholas Brothers, who did this amazing sort of flash act, a flash dance act. Nothing to do with Flash Dance, the movie from the 80s, but just this amazing combination of acrobatics and tap and jazz dancing. It's stunning. I think it's going to really wow the audience. And, of course, Astaire and Rodgers are going to be represented from what is arguably their best musical, Swing Time from 1936. Gene Kelly in a couple of sequences, one from Singing in the Rain. And we've got a clip from West Side Story with some phenomenal choreography in that. Dick Van Dyke's going to be there for us, and even John Travolta and Christopher Walken and a few other surprises.
Yeah, and it's all free, isn't it?
It's all free. That's it. So it's open to all ages. Come on down, 3 p.m. Tuesday, April 29th. We start at 3 o'clock. We'll have a brief intermission, and I've got a prize to give away, donated by Videomatica Sales. the essential name in DVDs and Blu-rays in Vancouver. So they've donated a four DVD set of great movie musicals that include Singing in the Rain, Meet Me in St. Louis, Easter Parade, The Bandwagon. It's just a great set, so I'm going to be giving that away as well. And so come on down and enjoy some great choreography up on the movie screen.
Terrific stuff as usual, Michael. Thanks for this. It's nice talking again.
All right. Well, you are tops and taps, Joe.
Thanks very much.
All right. See you later.
Dancing in the Dark, Michael Vandenbos on the movie's greatest dance numbers. That's Tuesday, the 29th of April, 2014, 3 p.m. at the Van City Theater here in Vancouver. It's free. Visit VIFF.org for information and also Michael's website, michaelvdb.webspace.ca. Michael Vandenbos joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.